Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night on the West Coast till 10 p.m., on the East Coast till 1 a.m. Very happy to be back with you guys, all of our stations, all of our sponsors, all of our listeners, all of our everything. You are our everything, all of our subscribers. Speaking of subscribers, make sure you subscribe to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Close to 5,000 hours of complete shows, over a decade. We've been doing this show for a long time. And it's only within the last 10 to 12, 13 years that we've been actually saving the audio, and we have all of it there for you, first-generation quality audio. We have a video archive. We have a news feed. We've got a daily podcast of The Daily Show as well as a daily podcast of archive material. So you're covered, man, and it's a value. You can't, other than, like I always say, and I don't mean to be crude, and I know you don't like this, Margaret, but other than porn.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you have to make that comparison.
Because I'm just saying, the only other thing online, on the internet, that people subscribe to by the hundreds of billions of dollars worth, it seems, is porn. So the next on the list is us. There's nothing else. Believe me when I tell you there's nothing else. If you're going to subscribe, there's porn, then there's us. So there's whatever that is, sex, you know.
Probably about David Castellini.
Yeah, well, that guy, Gavin.
Would you two of those people, they must be off mic, right?
You guys are off mic, yeah, shut up. And Margaret, if you don't mind. Subscribe to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We have Robert Greene, who's going to be joining us here momentarily to talk about the pressures of being an executive, something that he discussed with us at great length a number of years ago. We're going to come back because of the Cisco layoffs, although Cisco, a company that, I don't know, what does Cisco make?
Cowboy hats, something.
It doesn't make cowboy hats.
You say cowboy hats, bud.
Talk about Cisco.
Ain't the Cisco kid. I don't know what it's about. It's, a, you know, they're whatever they are. I ought to know this stuff because my father used to sell computers and business. My dad was a salesman. I had a dream last night that I was telling somebody my dad was a salesman, or maybe it was actual real conversation I had with somebody. Anyway, my father sold business machines. He sold computers later on in his life. So, and all of these were companies that were brought up frequently at the dinner table when I was a kid. It was always my father sitting there saying, and I'll tell you something about NCR and IBM and
the CIA and everything.
IBM and NCR, these are companies, not the CIA.
The CIA is a government
What?
The CIA's got nothing to do with anything, man. Just be quiet. So, Cisco, you know, in what appears to be the biggest layoff of a Silicon Valley company this year, 4,000 people get laid off, even though they're making more money. So we'll get into that in a moment. Now, here is a story, though, that I wanted to mention because this is a story. This is weird. There was a blues festival taking place in the Bay Area. Do you know about this, Margaret?
I know about it because, first of all, Lester Chambers is one of the iconic individuals in music. That's number one. Number two.
He was in the Chambers Brothers, right?
In the Chambers Brothers, yes. Number two.
What's iconic mean?
Either you shut it up or I will.
Bud, just be quiet. It means a big guy, okay?
Now, he was up there singing People Get Ready, which, if you know the song, I don't think anyone out there doesn't know the song. It is one of the most beautiful spirituals, what they used to call, Robert, forgive me, a Negro spiritual, you know.
Yeah.
As in black.
Yeah, I know that. But he knows that he is black.
I'm just saying. So, it was a Negro spiritual, but that means black.
I know it means black.
He knows it.
All right. I want to make sure.
Can we get to the point here?
So the point is that while he was singing People Get Ready, a white bitch came up and... Never mind.
Well, what's the matter?
You're going to rush me through it.
A white bitch came up and did what?
She shouted racial slurs and she attacked this good man because she said he had dedicated the song to Trayvon Martin.
Okay, finally we get to the point. Thank you very much. God, does it take a long time around here. So he dedicated the song.
Now, don't talk to me like I'm three.
Well, you got to get to it.
I'll tell her to get to it. He dedicated the song to Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin, as you know, was shot and killed in one of the most controversial cases of one citizen seemingly a law-abiding citizen coming up against another seemingly law-abiding citizen. Two people essentially not looking necessarily... Well, I shouldn't say not looking for a confrontation, because I've already spoken my piece on this. But nonetheless, these two men in a collision course that was fatal for one of them, Trayvon Martin, and some of us believe there was a miscarriage of justice. Nonetheless, he's dedicated this song, and the lady got up and started yelling at him, right?
Yes, 43-year-old Dina Line. See, the name, and I shouldn't say that, the name sounds black, you know?
What?
I'm whispering it because...
Talking about the name sound black? Yeah, Dina Line.
It's so whatever if it sounds black. She's a white lady.
Well, the name is Dina Line Andrews Potter of Barstow. Well, that's a giveaway there. I should have known. If I saw Barstow, then obviously white.
Yeah, probably in meth. You're probably methamphetamine.
Yeah, white and methamphetamine.
Give me that. I'll do it, okay? I'll do it. You guys are wasting time. Her name is Dina Line Andrews Potter of Barstow, with felony counts of assault and elder abuse in the July 13th attack at the Hayward Russell City Blues Festival, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. Mr. Chambers, a former member, or is a current member of the Chambers Brothers, best known for their 68 hit Time Has Come Today. He was performing the Curtis Mayfield song People Get Ready for Florida teen Martin just after George Zimmerman was acquitted of the second-degree murder. She shouted something and shoved the singer into an amplifier. She was arrested, she was cited, she was released. They have prepared an arrest warrant, and it will be issued soon. Chambers said in an interview this week with the TV station that Andrews Potter shouted slurs and obscenities at him and screamed, "You started this." He said, "My nerves are shot. I shake. I can't sleep. I have a great big lump over here on my left rib cage." Chambers and his family had asked that Andrews Potter be charged with a hate crime. Now, Andrews Potter, for her part, told police she's got a stress disorder and a repetitive part of the song caused her to snap. I don't know why I'm laughing at that.
Well, it's not funny.
I know it's not funny. What? How does the song go?
People get ready. There's a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You just get on board. All you need is I don't know.
Yeah, sing it. We know.
No. So there's a repetitive part of People Get Ready that apparently drove this woman claims drove her nuts, and that caused her to snap, and she went up and pushed this man. I don't buy it. Sounds to me like she was having a problem. It was a very, very emotional case, and everybody was flipping their lid on this thing. So, you know, sounds to me like she did too. We'll be back here. We got Robert Greene to... what's the matter?
That sounds to me like you just say, well, this is it, this is that. I mean, why don't you give a... we'll talk about it, you know?
Yeah, you're just going, yeah.
Because I got to get on to something else, all right? We'll talk about it when we have time, if you don't mind.
God.
I'm just telling you, we'll talk about it when we have time. We'll be right back here with Robert Greene on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. We got Robert Greene joining us here. Mr. Greene is the CEO of Fraser Foods, a big grocery chain in the Southeast. And we're going to talk about just, you know, the news of layoffs is not good. You know, we're hoping the economy is going to come back, maybe fight back a little bit. And, you know, it looks as if probably that is not yet. Well, I mean, it's fighting back, but the bad news of layoffs is not over. Cisco says even though they had earnings that were, you know, impressive, they're laying off 4,000 people, and so it goes with an economy that was that was, you know, doing pretty good in the early part of the century here at the turn of the century in the early part of the 2000s, and then with the complete financial meltdown of the planet Earth in 2008, that's where we've been ever since. 5 years. I remember I was laughing, and Bob Greene is on the line with us. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil, and thank you for having me on the program tonight.
You're welcome. I remember I was laughing at the news. I think it was Susie Orman, one of those financial people, said it'll be 5 years, 6 years. And I laughed at that. I said, you got to be kidding me, man. This isn't going to be one of those. You know, we're going to get out of this thing just as fast as we usually do. But while it has not been the devastating depression that everybody predicted, it's been a long one.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long run. And right now, you know, when we look at different signs, the signs are conflicting. You don't know whether, well, maybe this is going to be the day, this will be the week where we finally get ourselves lifted up out of this and we start doing business 100% or not. But still, we're forced to make some tough choices.
And how is your business? How is the grocery, food delivery service business doing?
Well, we're a business that is naturally we're seasonal. There's quite a bit of competition in my business. In the summertime, it's good. Some parts of the year when people decide they want to go on diets, for instance, the springtime is generally when we see a problem with not a problem, Phil, but we see a drop off in business in the springtime.
Now, why the spring? Because everybody's on a diet after the winter?
Yeah, because during the wintertime, people tend to eat more. It's colder, and so you know, they're putting on extra weight. There's not a lot of good weather for you to go out and get exercise in. Now comes the spring. They realize the summer's around the corner. Everybody wants to be on a diet, and so they start going into these everybody wants to be looking good in a bathing suit, so they go on a diet. And so the spring is generally when we'll go out and try to get the business back in. It sounds a little sadistic, but we'll do giveaways in our bakery, for instance, a dozen donuts, cinnamon buns. It's something we have to do to try to pull the business back in.
So when you say sadistic, what do you mean?
Well, some people have criticized us for giving away pastries and candies and cookies and things because we know that people in the springtime and in the winter, in the late winter and spring, are dieting. So they don't really want to eat a lot. And I can't do that because that's not good for my business. So it puts me at odds with that kind of mindset. So we have to somehow get people. I don't want people to be unhealthy, but at the same time, I've got to get business in the door. So we're going to do what we got to do. And
so you're out there giving away donuts?
Yeah, we have a Krispy Kremes we'll give away. We'll give away the jelly filled, the eclairs. We'll give away candies and cookies to. And I'm not trying to get anybody to be unhealthy. I'll just say, look, you know, I got to eat too. So I can't. If they want to go on a diet, why are they hanging around a grocery store? And that's been my philosophy. People will say, you know, we're dieting. I'll say, well, then why are you here? And they'll say, to buy food. And I'll go, yeah. I thought you were on a diet, and that catches them. They don't know what to say to that.
Well, I know what I would say.
What's that? I know you'd make a joker.
No, I would simply say, yeah, I'm on a diet, but I still got to eat. I mean, I'm on a diet all the time. I'm on a, as you know, Bob, since the spring of 2012, I've been on a diet.
Well, that right there, that's what I'm talking about. And you talk about it all the time on your show. And while I'm glad, Phil, that you're able to lose weight, how does that help me when you say, hi, I'm Phil Hendry, I'm on a diet?
Well, I'm just telling you, I have to eat, too. So I do 1,500 calories a day, you know, when I'm being a good boy. And there now on Sundays, I'll blow it out. But during the week, I'm like 1,500 to 2,000 calories a day.
Yeah, and so people hear that, and they're not buying as much food. And I got to say to them, here's a donut. Basically, I have to say, who are you kidding? And
so you got to disrespect people. I just don't know how that's good for business, you know?
Well, no, I'm not disrespecting people. I'm speaking to them. If somebody's on a diet and I say, here's a donut, and then what are they going to say to me, that I'm a bad guy?
You know what's funny? I'll tell you this much. On one of the Facebook pages that we operate for our radio show, I think Bobby Dooley at Western Estates has a Facebook page that we help her keep going. And she had a picture of some desserts that she made. She had a picture of a chocolate cake. She had a picture of a chocolate eclair.
Yeah, no, I saw it, and I saw the comments.
All right, so you saw the people.
Yeah, I saw the one lady said, you know, there was some pretty bad. One lady said, why don't you burn in hell? And those were some pretty bad comments.
Yeah, people get really. If somebody's trying to lose weight, trying to diet, and they see somebody sticking a big piece of chocolate cake in their face, they flip their lids.
Well, I got to tell you something, Phil. Nothing makes me flip my lid more than not being able to have a good, than not bringing money in the door, and then my family starves. What is that about?
Well, Bob, you know, if you have a down quarter, your family isn't going to starve.
Well, excuse me. Let me just explain my business, because I'm not trying to tell you anything, but I have a down quarter. That means the projected earnings were down. That means that I've not satisfied the company board, which means I've got to lay people off. It's more than just saying, the earnings are down. That's why I get around to the Cisco thing. People talk about 4,000 people getting laid off. They don't know what that does in when there are down economic times to me or to other members of the business executive of this country. So if we have a down quarter and I got to go to the board and say, we did not meet our number, and the board says, well, we were expecting to meet our number. Looks like you got to lay people off, or you can take a pay cut.
What about that? What about you taking a pay cut?
A lot of executives have taken pay cuts. Let me explain something to you and your listeners, Phil. That's not a new thing. A lot of executives have taken pay cuts. So don't, you know.
Well, I'm not trying to say anything. I think it's, I'm glad you answered the question. A lot of people do ask that question. Look at all the money these executives make. Why don't they take a pay cut? And by the way, a pay cut's one thing, but these bonuses.
What about them? What about you're going to talk about the bonuses that we were promised contractually. Let me tell you the flip side of that.
Well, but the bonuses are like in the millions, you know.
Well, we've heard all about the bonuses. We heard about them when Obama became president, and anybody that took a bonus was the next best thing to Adolf Hitler, and I thought that was very unfair. But let me tell you the reality.
Well, no, that's when the companies were being bailed out, and these guys were taking the bonuses.
Yeah, I understand that, but that's what they were contractually committed to do. Let me tell you the flip side of that. When business is down, people get laid off. I understand that. But at my level, it's a lot more serious, because when business is down at my level, not only am I laying people off, I got to go in and I got to talk to a board, and I got to talk about the future a year, 2 years down the road, and I'm looking at the possibility of my company, something I built with my bare hands, brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail, and I'm looking at the end of everything that I've ever worked for. You lose a job, you go down the street, you fill out an application. You know, I mean, forgive me for putting it this way, you scratch your rear end, you go and get yourself a drink.
Well, that's very disrespectful, because a guy who is losing a job is a family to feed to.
No, I understand that. But I lose my business, Phil, and guess what I do? I commit suicide. Not me, necessarily, but guys at my level. You sit down at a desk that you have occupied for 15, 20 years, and you put a gun in your mouth. Now, I'm not... try laughing at that.
I don't think it's funny at all, but I don't think it's that extreme.
Oh, you don't? And how many multi-million dollar businesses have you owned? So that's my point. Someone loses their job, they go down the street, they get another job. I lose my job, I lose my company, and I put the business end of a 45 in my mouth. And behind me, by the way, Phil, in my office on the wall is an extremely expensive Marc Chagall painting, the great Russian painter that I bought. I don't know anything about painting. My wife wanted it. I got it in the divorce. It's hanging on my wall. People like it. But I can tell you this much. I commit suicide in my office and all over what at that time was a $75,000 painting, go by brains.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, this is the reality.
That's the most grotesque and obscene thing I've ever heard. And it's also something that I think is unnecessary to say. I just don't think everybody is that fragile a mentality.
Not everybody has built a company up brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail, from the ground up with the equivalent of a spoon. And I did that.
All right, Bob, we're going to get back here to Robert Green, who is on the line with us talking about the travails of the economy, the travails of employment, the difference between being laid off and losing an entire business. Just exactly how tough is it looking at things from, you know, the opposite sides of the fence? Listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and philhendryshow.com is the place to go. For all of your rock and roll needs, man, if you have anything Phil Hendry related, head over to our website. You get a backstage pass. That means you have a subscription to our website. You can also go into our online store at philhendryshow.com and buy T-shirts, the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, and I think Ted is going to be making an appearance on the show later in the week. The Ted's of Beverly Hills T-shirt. We have the Phil Hendry Show cap. We have the Bobby Dooley keychain. We've got CDs. We have downloads. We got everything for your rock and roll dancing pleasure there at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. So visit us there and become a member of the Backstage Pass family, not to mention, of course, our nightly video cast, which is what we've got going right now. In fact, you go over there right now. You looking at it, bud?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. How come it's not the same thing?
Because there's a satellite lag, okay? There's a little bit of a satellite lag between what you're going to hear here on the radio and, you know, we'll be right back. And it's the Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Good to have you with us. Robert Green from Fraser Foods has joined us. We're looking at some pretty serious news here from Egypt. Bob, I know you were mentioning this to me. And there's an article here about, not that the two things are related, but there's an article here about Papa John. Although you think the trouble in Egypt and U.S. economic news is related, how?
Well, what I'm saying is it's more of a philosophical relationship, Phil. The people of Egypt are going through a revolution of some kind. I don't know what kind this is. It seems like they've been going through a revolution now for the last three, four, five, whatever, you know, a long time. And
yeah, they've got some complex problems there.
All right. Well, they've got some complex problems, and that's very difficult, and I'm sorry to hear that, but before they want to take on this thing called democracy and free enterprise as we know it in the United States, I would say to any Egyptian that's listening, I would say this, I would have said this to anybody in Eastern Europe, anyone anywhere that is in a society so tightly controlled that they really don't have a free enterprise system as we know it, but they would like to have one, I would ask them to consider the fact that if I lose my company, and you don't want me to say this, but the Chagall is decorated with my brains.
And why do you feel the need to say that?
Because I've been listening, Phil, since 2008 about the plight of the working man in America. I'm a working man.
I understand that. I understand that you are a working man.
Yeah, and I don't go down the road to get another job. If I lose my company, you've got to understand something. The money that I spend on...
The money you spent on what?
The money I spent on the Chagall that hangs behind my desk. $75,000.
That's pretty cheap for a Marc Chagall, don't you think?
Okay, I didn't know you were an art dealer, but all right.
I'm not. I just know that he's a very very famous painter.
Well, $75,000 is plenty for me, and I'm sure it's plenty for the people listening. If Phil Henry has got that kind of loose change hanging around, hey, good for you. But
I'm not saying that, Bob. I just thought that you're right. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Yeah, you did. You misspoke, and I appreciate you saying that you misspoke, because after you misspeak and I spend my $75,000 and I lose my company, then the Marc Chagall has been altered drastically because now it has...
brains all over it?
Yeah, it's got brain matter on it.
Because of your inability to cope with life, because of your mental illness.
I beg your pardon?
Because that's what that would be. If you lose your company, and then you put, as you say, the business end of a .45 in your mouth, pull the trigger, and now there's brain matter all over the Marc Chagall, that's you. That's not the economy.
Phil, that is... Well, hold the phone here for a minute, because I just got done asking you, what do you know about business? That is the reality for a guy like me. The reality for 90%... 99% of the people listening to your broadcast right now is if they lose their jobs, they go home, they sing the blues, they put on a blues record, they get a guitar out, they play a harmonica, they get some people down from you know, I don't know what they do.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about if the average guy out there loses his job.
He goes home and gets a guitar and plays the harmonica.
Well, whatever the working man is, I don't know. He goes home, he watches television, he sings the blues, he listens to the radio, he listens to a blues song, he gets the blues. What am I saying that you don't understand?
I don't know. It just sounds very odd that your understanding of the working man in 2013 America. I mean, maybe at one time he went home and sang the blues with a guitar and a harmonica. He probably goes home, hugs his wife and kids, you know.
Well, and what if he doesn't have those?
Well, then he'll go home and get drunk, for all I know.
Well, they were doing that in the 19th century, too, so...
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, some things never change. Some things... And believe me when I tell you that when we had a recession in the 19th century, it meant starvation for people. It meant absolute starvation because we didn't have the social services and safety nets that we have today. So the point that you're making is that you have it just as tough as the average guy.
I'm trying to tell you that when 4,000 people get laid off, if a guy gets laid off, he goes home and he plays, you know...
All right, let's say you're right. He goes home and plays the guitar.
Well, whatever. All right, so I'll say you're right. He goes home and he watches television, and he grins his way through the Bachelorette, okay?
All right.
I lose my job, and by losing my job, I lose my company. I don't go and watch the Bachelorette. I go to my drawer, and I get out Mr. 45.
Well, you know, what is it with you and the way you put things, though? That's what I find disturbing. I think that there is, you don't feel that there is an emotional or a mental problem there if the first solution is to grab for a 45?
No, I do not, no. And that's something you don't understand, and most of the people listening to you don't understand, because they've never had to build a business the way I do. Most of the people listening to you, when they finish an hour of work, they go, another $10. And that, to them... is absolute heaven. And people listening to me, I mean, people that are like me, if they lose, they work an hour, it ain't $10. It's, you know, dear sweet God, can I make it to the end of the day? That's only 1 hour. I've got God knows how many more, 10, 11 hours. I got 12-hour work days. So what we're proposing is this. We're proposing that a little bit more consideration be given to those of us that are the captains of industry, so that when there is a down economic time, people don't look at us like we are the princes of darkness, that we are the scum of the earth, that we are the cause and the reason.
Well, there was an awful lot that was said about that when the economy went south because of these bonuses, because of the bad investments, because of what I consider to be incompetence. I know that a lot of people didn't. I know a lot of people said, well, you know, times are bad. And I felt that one of the biggest reasons why we had, and the most troubling aspect to all of this, you know, was the fact that we had...
Are you going to be done? I'm sorry.
Am I going to be done what?
Are you going to be? I was going to ask you, are you going to be done soon? Because I wanted to...
No, I've still got some things to say. You know something, Bob? I listened to you making a speech.
I wasn't making a speech. I don't know that you're qualified to talk about these things.
Yes, I am, because I'm the host of the show. By the way, our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. What I'm saying is... that the individuals running business in this country didn't do a good job.
All right, well, that is all well and good, because that goes along with your philosophy that we're all mentally ill. And
no, I didn't say all mentally ill.
You just said to me that if I react in a perfectly normal way to losing my company, to losing my business, to the economy crashing, and I go ahead and I do the honorable thing, which is to walk out into a clearing somewhere in a forest, far away from any habitation, do the honorable thing, you're saying that's mental illness. And
when you say the honorable thing, I guess you're saying about committing suicide.
No, I said the honorable thing.
And that's shooting yourself.
That is correct.
That's suicide.
No, that's the honorable thing.
All right, so what you don't want to admit to is this level of mental illness, because that means then you'd be agreeing with me that you guys have all got to screw loose anyway.
Oh, is that right? Well...
I'm telling you, 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what's the story with Papa John's? What did you have a problem there with?
Well, the problem I had with Papa John's is simply this. The guy that runs Papa John's, John Sinclair, excuse me, that's not John, it's John Schrader, that's his name. I didn't read it right, I was looking at it. He's the CEO and he's the founder of Papa John's. Now, he's got black curly hair. There's no question about that, and it's pretty kinky, and I say that only to give you the idea that if he was Italian, he would have black kinky hair, but he would look, you know, like a regular, not regular, but he would look like a guy from Europe, except darker. Okay?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Where are you going with this?
I wanted to say...
Can I jump in, Phil?
Go ahead.
Hi, Bob. Margaret Gray.
Yeah.
Are you saying that this man from Papa John's is not Italian, and so therefore, what's he doing?
Yeah, that's essentially it. He's not an Italian, and he's out there with his mug on TV. He is a... He's another one of these guys that's... I just don't like these guys going on TV that are not TV guys, that they're regular business guys. You don't see me doing that, do you?
No, I don't. But I'll tell you this much. Guys that go on TV and promote their own businesses generally do a pretty good job. I mean, at least the ones that I've seen.
Yeah, well, you don't see the failures. You see the success stories, but you don't see the failures. You didn't see the TV campaign that I did 3 years ago for Fraser Foods. And I will tell you, it was the most frightening thing I've ever been through in my life. I never want to go through anything like that again. I never want to sit in front of a television camera. I never want to sit in a makeup chair. I never want to have those people anywhere near me. It was frightening to the point of sickness. I was ill, and I got sick all over myself the first two takes. And when we finally got a take done, I looked at it, and I said, was that me? And they said, yeah, that was you. I said, that looked nothing like me, because the hair was matted from sweat. I looked like I was having a heart attack.
Well, the guys that are a success are you know, like the guy from Wendy's, Orville Redenbacher.
Orville Redenbacher? Woo!
You don't think he was a success?
No, I think he sold that popcorn. He sold that popcorn despite the fact that he was on television. Despite the fact that his kisser was on TV, they went ahead and bought the popcorn anyway. And
how do you know that?
Because of the research.
What did the research say?
The research, the people answered it, why are you buying the Orville Redenbacher? And they're saying, I like it, even though I just got to look at him. And
all right, hold on for a minute. Robert Green from Fraser Foods, I don't know. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we continue talking with him here about the economy, and all of that, you know, just exactly what it means from the standpoint of labor and from the standpoint of the big boss man. Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 855-500-7445. And we are here every night till 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that's, well, mostly entertainment, but we do know what we're talking about. Our number 855, that's blowing me away, man, at 855-500-7445. That's it. Robert Green is our guest here on the show this hour. Next hour, we have Dean Wheeler. He's going to be talking to us about Bradley Manning. That's a heavy story, and it's just about wrapping up now. This guy Bradley Manning and what he had done. 855-500-7445. But I think we got a phone call on the line. Let's go to Jerry, and he is calling us here from another call from Phoenix, Arizona tonight. Jerry, go ahead. You're on with Robert Green.
Hey Bob, how are you?
I'm good, Jerry. How you doing?
Oh, good. Bob, I wanted you to comment on the. A story about the Obama administration has decided to have these $100 bills.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I wanted you to comment on that. I felt it was a real slap in the face of business people, especially, to decide cynically to redesign a $100 bill in the middle of these economic times we're having.
Yeah, Jerry, I think that you hit the nail right on the head. Obama getting with the Treasury people and the people at the Mint and saying, I got a great idea. Let's redesign the $100 bill for laughs so that we can, you know, go ahead and stick it in and twist it and maybe even break it off.
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you, wherever you are, Jerry, I'm hearing a car alarm.
Yeah, oh, it's just in the neighborhood here. It's not a problem at all. I would stop to use my phone, and they have a police looks like a roadblock or something. I don't know.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
I'm going to start all over again now because I forget where I was.
I was asking you about the $100 bill.
That's right, the $100 bill. So Obama gets with the mint people and the Treasury people.
Talking about the mint people, you mean the...
Where they make the money, yeah.
That's right. Okay.
I can hear that car alarm.
I do, too. You're everything's good, huh, Jerry?
Yeah, everything's fine. I just was looking at the people here gathering in the street.
Okay, so... Because it's a little distracting to me.
Maybe you can hang up and listen to Bob's response, huh?
Well, I don't want to do that. I've got some questions I want to ask.
Well, I'll try and get to my comment, and then you can ask your question. The Obama administration got with the Treasury Department and the mint people, and by mint, I mean people that make money.
I didn't know what you meant, the mints. I forgive me. I was thinking about... what they leave on your pillow.
Yeah, no, not what they leave on your pillow.
Tell you what, I'm going to ask the caller to hang up, okay, because it's very distracting.
Well, I've got some follow-up questions.
That's fine. You may have follow-up questions, but I'm going to have to hang up on you because it's driving me nuts, to be honest with you. Okay, Bob, go ahead and answer.
Yeah, well, thank you, Phil. First of all, I think it was very cynical of the Obama people to decide, hey, this is a really good time to redesign the $100 bill. And so what we're going to do is not only redesign the $100 bill, we're going to release it right in the middle of one of the...
Hold on, from what is that other line?
I got David Hall.
Hold on, I got David G. Hall. Yeah, David?
Yeah, Bill, I'm sorry to interrupt there. Robert, how are you doing? I'm doing fine, thank you. Listen, I had a call from the gentleman that you just spoke to. We got a complaint call. He said that you hung up on him.
I did hang up on him because he's got a car alarm going off behind him.
David, this is Robert Green. I'm glad that he did hang up on him because this car alarm was driving me ape.
Well, the guy was saying that he wanted to ask some follow-up questions and that you hung up. And I was just saying that in this particular startup phase of your radio show, where, you know, things have not exactly been popping on the phone lines for you, I would think that you'd take every swing and you know what that comes your way.
Yeah, and we don't need to use that kind of crude terminology.
Well, excuse me, you know, but...
We don't need to use that. I understand, but you know what? I'm not going to have an annoying call on the air either.
Yeah, like you, David, if you don't mind me saying. You're annoying right now.
Where do you get off saying that to me?
Because I'm the guest, and I don't know who you are.
He's the vice president of syndication for the show.
Well, I don't care. I'm the guest, and I'm trying to say what I want to say. And you came on, and Phil made a very good point. He's trying to make the show sound good.
I'm trying to make it sound good, too, Mr. Green, by getting calls on the air, and he just hung up on a guy.
I hung up on the guy because I'm hearing this car alarm going, do, in the background.
You know, Phil...
Just like I can hear some carnival barker behind you.
The what?
I can hear a carnival barker or something behind you.
I took my kid to the carnival. Is that a... Oh, wow. So I can't even take my kid to a Ferris wheel without somebody getting on me. Is that it?
You can do whatever... Here, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do for you what I did for the other car. There you go. Thanks. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you very much, Phil. I don't believe... You know what? I wouldn't want your job for $1 million. I wouldn't want your job for all the brand new hundreds that they've got. Again, I think it was very cynical for Obama to come out with a new $100 bill at a time like this.
All right, why?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious that when you're struggling with your business and you're struggling with employment and you're struggling to pay bills, and here comes Obama and he says, oh, and by the way, did you see the new $100 bill? Oh, I guess you wouldn't see that, would you? You see what I mean?
Well, I didn't hear him say that. I did hear... That,
well, you didn't hear him. He's not going to come out and say that, but isn't that kind of what it's about?
Not necessarily, because what I read was, first of all, you know, we have denominations of money in this country of ours, in every country. And the $100 bills that we did have were getting, a lot of them getting worn out, and they had to do a new printing. And they decided, as long as they had to do a new printing, that they would change the design. The design is changed on these bills from time to time. As you know, the money that we have today doesn't look exactly like it did even 25, 30 years ago, and it certainly doesn't look like it did 100 years ago.
that doesn't mean that every time you decide to print a new... So what? I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
I don't understand why they got to change the look of the and the feel of the bill.
Because, like I said, the old hundreds are getting worn out, so they need to... Here's the story, if you don't mind, I will... Story is all about the Benjamins. A $100 bill redesign. Apparently it hit a snag. They had to get rid of a bunch of them because the printing job was not good. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing had reportedly hit a production snag as one of the country's two currency factories, according to the document cited by the New Yorker.
By the way, if you don't mind me asking, I don't understand what kind of a show this is. When you got a guy, I said the U.S. Mint, I thought everyone knew what that was.
Are you talking about the caller?
Yeah.
I don't know. He must have been stupid. Bob, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods talking with us here about the new $100 bills, which sounds really exciting, but not, you know. I don't think anybody is printing up $100 bills just so you know, you can stick it in the, rub it in the face of guys that are doing bad in business. Here's a new $100 bill. Oh, you wouldn't know what that looks like, would you? Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445 and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Listen to our podcast tomorrow, our archive podcast, our news feed, 5,000 hours of audio, the whole damn thing, man. Next hour, Dean Wheeler and Bradley Manning. The Phil Henry Show.